Welcome, welcome, welcome to E2T, Explore, Experience, Thrive, Be Adventure. I'm Marcy Nault, and on this show, we talk about living our lives in the most magnificent way, going after all our dreams, believing that we have one body, one life, one playground earth that is the most amazing adventure, and not wasting a moment of it. But what I hear all the time from so many people that encounter this belief system that want to go after their dreams and they don't want to live a life of regrets is that they don't feel that they have the financial well-being or the money to live out their dreams. And they spend so much of their time seeking the almighty dollar. Well, today on the show, I want to introduce an amazing woman. Her name is Emerald Greenforest, and she is known as a wealthy life mentor. She is internationally recognized speaker, a transformation artist, a Be the Change Movement to Watch and Quilly Award winner, and one of America's premier experts. She is also the executive producer of Apple's top 200 ranked Men on Purpose podcast and Wickedly Smart Women podcast. And she's hired to consult with high-achieving leaders from all over the world who are called to be the vanguard of the creative age. Emerald, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, Marcy, what a pleasure to be here. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to connect with you again and to serve your audience.
So, Emerald, we met because she came to my first ever event where people could try out everything on their bucket list for over 40 different activities. And when we asked most, I love my experience most. And a novel with best-selling novel most was talking about with Emerald. And so I had a really day to what she had amazing ways of at money, own personal worth. And that's where we are today, Emerald, is the story and the relationship that people have with money in this day and age. Can you speak to what you see on a regular basis?
Yeah. Well, so the first thing I want to talk about, actually, Marcy, is I want to talk about money and the vibrations. There's different vibrations of money. So I think it will help to set the stage, and then we can actually shift the conversation away from money and directly to wealth, because that's one of the three vibrations. So
I love that. Now, before you go to that, some people listening might not understand what you mean by the vibration of money. So please clarify that as you speak about it.
Sure. So I think the best way for me to do that is to actually speak about it. But you kind of as a preface to that, like everything has a vibe. You walk into a room and you can feel whether it's a positive place or a negative place. You walk into Starbucks and it has a vibe. You walk into Home Depot and it has a vibe. You walk into somebody's house and it has a different vibe than their neighbor's house. So it's not something that people don't actually know about. It's more that they haven't articulated what's going on, maybe. So money has three vibes, and money's three vibes are scarcity. And scarcity for me, the way I perceive it is it's like rain in the desert, right? So the money's coming in and it's sucked up and absorbed so quickly that it's like disappeared immediately. That's scarcity, right? Yes. So that's the scarcity vibration. And then the next vibration for money is abundance. And a lot of people in the personal and professional development field talk about abundance. I want abundance. I want abundance. Abundance, abundance, abundance. Give me more abundance. And abundance is undeniable. Okay. It's great. Abundance is great. Don't get me wrong, but it has its challenges. So abundance is like the ocean. So imagine that you are in the middle of the ocean. you cannot deny that there is abundance everywhere, an abundance of water all over the place, right?
You're right.
It's just like everywhere. And the challenge with abundance, the abundance vibration, and I see this a lot, especially with entrepreneurs, but, you know, even with people who are maybe in the corporate world who are 6 or 7 figure earners, who how it shows up for them is a little bit different. But what happens with abundance is literally imagine yourself in the ocean and imagine that the sun is sparkling on the tops of the waves and you're swimming after the sparkle. 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 You're swimming after the sparkle, but you can never actually hold the sparkle.
Right.
And what happens with abundance is you can end up exhausting yourself in abundance because you're swimming after the sparkle everywhere, right?
Right.
And just to give another example, I don't know if anybody has ever gone into the Walgreens or your Rite Aid or whatever pharmacy kind of place that you have ever shopped in and gone to the toothpaste aisle. I did this and counted 47 different varieties of Crest. 47 different, just of Crest, just of Crest. That doesn't count Tom's of Maine or Close Up or AIM or any of the other toothpaste. So the challenge with abundance, like there's no question, there's an abundance of choices for Crest. The other challenge with abundance is it's hard to make any choices because you're overwhelmed. Abundance can be overwhelming.
I've never heard it described that way, but yes, well, you're right.
And when you're overwhelmed by abundance, what happens there is it becomes, you become completely indecisive and incapable of making any decision. And now you're treading water in the middle of the ocean of abundance.
Okay.
Which is also exhausting. Mm-hmm. You're either, you know, swimming after the shiny, you know, white tops on the waves, or you're drowning in indecision in this ocean of abundance. And so abundance has some interesting challenges. The third piece about abundance is it can come in waves. And this happens a lot for entrepreneurs where they're on the revenue roller coaster. So a wave will come and then they're waiting for the next wave. And they're in the trough. So there's this wave trough thing. And sometimes a wave of abundance can be so big that it throws you up onto the shores and then it withdraws. And now you're stuck in the sands of scarcity again.
And you do hear this quite often when you talk to people who have had great success. You know, maybe they ride that wave. And they describe it that way. They ride that way for a couple of years. And it's like, there's so much money. And then next thing they know, they're declaring bankruptcy and trying to catch that next wave. So I'm understanding what you're saying here.
Yeah. So we love abundance and it has lots of challenges. Now, the third vibe, the third vibration of money is wealth. And the secret to wealth, to having money, support your wealthy life is boundaries. And so wealth is like the Colorado River and the Hoover Dam and Lake Mead. So what's happening here is the water is flowing in to Lake Mead. So there's flow coming in from the Colorado River. The Hoover Dam is set up as a boundary that is creating a container that is Lake Mead. And on the other side of the Hoover Dam, money is still flowing out, but it's not, you know, you still have this reserve, the reservoir, right? Lake Mead. And the other thing that's interesting about wealth is it is generative. So the other thing that you notice about Lake Mead and Hoover Dam and the Colorado River is it's generating electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's creating something more than itself.
Right.
And so we all kind of float around across these three vibrations, scarcity, abundance, and wealth. And what I have discovered is that the wealth vibration requires, you know, certainly at the very lowest level of the work, it requires being able to set and maintain really clear boundaries.
And what do you mean by those boundaries? Like putting it into, taking it out of a metaphor and putting it into someone's life that's like, maybe they've been in the scarcity or the abundance, but they're like, okay, what do you mean by these boundaries?
Mm. Well, so the first thing that we have to be aware of is how we are stealing from our capacity to be wealthy. So I'm going to use an acronym. The acronym is THIEF, THIEF. Mm-hmm. And wealth is the full measure, really, of all of the resources that you have available to you. So it's not just money. That's the other thing about wealth. It's not just money. It is the full measure of all of the resources you have available to you. So the resources that you have are time, mm-hmm. your health,
right,
your intake of information, your intellectual intake, and your intuitive intake, right? Mm-hmm. What's coming in, what is it being exchanged, the energy exchanged. This is where the money piece comes in, where we are exchanging our time, our energy, our creativity, our brilliance, our wisdom for money. So energy exchange.
Right.
And then the final one is fun with your family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
So when I talk about setting boundaries in order to welcome wealth, we have to look across all five of these areas and begin to put into place clarity around what is working for you and what's not working for you. And this is actually the first step in my wealthy life method. What is working for you and what's not working for you? We have to know that first before we can even set boundaries. So let's take time for an example. Let's say that you have set yourself up to work 80 hours a week and you are exhausting yourself.
Yes.
Well, how you can set a boundary around that is to, this is really a practical thing, separate your work environment from your life environment in some way. Whether that means, like in my case, I have put my office in the lower level of my place where I'm living. So when I come down to the lower level, I'm at work, working. Mm-hmm. And when I'm in the upper level, I'm living. I'm doing other things. I'm going outside. And that's not to say, especially since I'm an entrepreneur, most entrepreneurs feel like they're working all the time because wherever your brain is, your business is. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
But if you're spending 70 or 80 hours, let's say, on the computer, and you're exhausting yourself, then you need to create a boundary that says, I will only spend time on the computer be on the computer for X hours, or I will only be on the computer in my lower level, or I will only be on the computer Tuesdays, or I will only be on the, each person is going to have to set their own boundaries. Around, or I'll only be on the computer for 20 minutes a day. And if I can't finish it in 20 minutes, then it can't be done. And so part of setting boundaries is also being willing to surrender what you think needs to be done in the time that you have in service to crafting a wealthy life where your time is being utilized in a way that is benefiting you and everyone. And so, this is something you do really well, Marcy.
Sometimes I have a different way of working, that it's like I go full in, and when I'm in and I work really hard, and then I get to a surrender point where it's like, this is the best that it can be. Now I'm going to go and I'm going to let it be, and I'm going to go live my life. And that took a lot of practice. Mm-hmm. In letting go so that my life can be wealthy. And I always use the term abundant, but so that, yes, like when I am out and I'm enjoying my life, whether I'm skating or I'm dancing or I'm with friends or with a family, I will not, and this took years to get to as an entrepreneur, I will not bring all the to-do lists of my work with me. I will not bring any stresses that I have with me. And it was my niece that actually taught me this, because for years when I moved back, I was beginning my company, and I would notice that I was carrying that stress with me all the time. And it was limiting how we were enjoying life together. Mm. And it made me recognize that no amount of money that I could make, no accomplishments in my business were ever worth only giving her 3/4 of myself or half of myself. Mm-hmm. And so I think for a lot of people, because we're taught from a very early age that what we do is one of the most important things we do, is one of the most important aspects of our lives. I talk about this a lot in what I teach, is that the first question we're asked is, what do you want to be when you grow up? And we create that as our identity. And so we look at, especially in the United States, of when you're working really hard, that somehow that's successful, somehow that is the epitome of living a good life. And if we really look at it, so there's a lot of people listening today who are sitting in jobs, and they're saying to you, sure, I'm going to limit my time. I can't, I'm in this office, and how am I going to do this to create wealth? And I'm not an entrepreneur. So what would you say to them about that time exchange that they're giving, that time for money?
Yeah. So here's what I know about corporate from the years that I was in corporate back in the day. I was in the real estate business, and I also, you know, had other jobs in a corporate environment. I worked for Digital Equipment Corp many, many years ago. And one of the things that I'm very aware of, and I know that if we all tell ourselves the truth, just like seriously tell yourself the truth, is that a lot of times when you are working in a corporate environment and on a team, there is downtime where you're really not doing much of anything.
Right.
And so you're just sitting there clocking in hours in exchange for dollars, but you are not truly being fully utilized in your highest potential. So what I would tell people who are in that situation is a couple of things. First of all, be self-aware. Be self-aware of what it is you are actually doing with the downtime that you have. I have a friend who's a cellist, and she plays in an orchestra, and she's not playing the whole time. But the other parts of the time, she's listening. I mean, she's very self-aware. She's listening. She's feeling the music. She's being present to the conductor. Like, there's lots of other things going on. So it's important to be self-aware enough to be asking yourself the question, am I just sitting here as a part of the body count? Right? Mm-hmm. Exchanging my body is here getting money, but my mind really isn't. And if your mind really isn't there and engaged in making some kind of productive contribution, what else could you be doing during that, like what we're going to call it, downtime, that would allow you to have a more wealthy experience of life? Could you be listening to podcasts like this that are going to expand your horizons and improve your thinking around potentially being entrepreneurial? Are you going to look for additional ways that you could contribute to the organization that may give you a raise?
Right.
Are you willing to just sit there and take the money and have like the golden handcuffs, but know at some level that your own contribution is not being made and you're eroding internally, right? So if you're eroding internally because you know that, then it is on you to be proactive in finding ways to either, create additional streams of income in your life, or ask to be elevated in the organization because you can see that you can do more.
Yes. And I think oftentimes people get stuck, and there's so many distractions these days, you know. So while someone's sitting in a corporate job, I finally had to say to certain friends that I could not be texting with them because I was working. And they're like, well, you work for yourself. Exactly. If I'm not working, I'm, you know, not building what I'm trying to build. But while they're sitting at a job, they have time to text all day and go back and forth because they've got that.
They're really not being employed fully.
Right? Exactly. And so, and that's become the norm to the point that Simon Sinek goes into companies to say, don't allow phones in the boardrooms, you know, so that people actually speak to one another and they grow your corporation. Mm-hmm. And so I remember saying to someone when I was talking about aligning your time with your dreams, and this person really wanted to write a book, but I have a corporate job and I have to consistently be, you know, in a commute. And I was like, okay, so while you're on that commute, you could either be listening to audiobooks to learn about storytelling. You can be voice recording.
Exactly.
What you want to be writing. And then on the times that you're on Facebook or you're, you know, texting back and forth with friends or messaging, in that downtime at work, you can be writing a sentence. And you'd be surprised how many times that sentence is going to turn into a first draft of a book. And people are shocked when they recognize that they have time holes. Mm-hmm. And so I love what you're talking about, that wealth doesn't have to be like this big jump from I'm in a corporation and I have a steady paycheck into bam, I'm going to be an entrepreneur and I have no idea what I'm doing, you know, and that wealth is really about the whole package of your life and the way that you live it and not just about the money.
Correct. So I really want to challenge the myth of working hard. Okay. So
yes.
So, and this especially applies in the entrepreneurial realm, but it's a holdover from the old industrial age. So corporations have evolved from the industrial age and entrepreneurship has evolved from the industrial age. And in the old industrial age, what was valued was extracting every last ounce of time and effort that could possibly be extracted out of the factory workers in exchange for the least amount of money. Right. So the challenge here, especially for people who are in corporate, is one of two things happens. Either you sit there making it look like you're working when you're really not,
right?
Because there may still be a culture of, if you're not working, you're not worth being here, right? Mm-hmm. So there's this fear and worry about being fired if you're not pretending to be actually working, which I did back at, you know, in my early 20s when I was in Digital Equipment Corp. I would get my stuff done in like 2.5 days or 1.5 days. Like everything that was asked for me to be done was like, I was done. I'm done. Like, I'm done. Can you give me something else to do? And I made other people look bad.
Yeah, I had the same experience in corporate.
I made other people look bad, right? And so they would rather have had me playing Dungeons and Dragons in my cubicle as long as it looked like I was working,
right?
For, you know, 3.5 days out of the 5 days that I was working for my paycheck. I left corporate pretty early in my journey. So the other piece of this working hard thing is there are people who go so far above and beyond what they're actually being paid for because they either can't stand it. Like, I couldn't stand that. And I had to leave the corporate environment because I just couldn't stand that. But they overwork and are like the workhorses in the organization, and they're completely undervalued. And I have somebody in my life who's recently gone through that process where I helped her to get clear that she was worth twice, at least maybe even three times what she was being paid for the level of work that she was putting in. And she was so attached to this, I've got to work hard mentality that, you know, it created sickness for herself. You know, she created a bad anxiety condition and ended up out of work for 12 weeks when she you know, when we first met. And now she has left that situation. And what's interesting, when somebody who does that leaves a situation, what's left behind is a gaping hole in the organization that then requires two or three or four people to fill it. Because the truth is, it really requires more people to fulfill everything that one person was doing. And she now has a new job where she is making, I think, at least twice what she was making before.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I remember I spoke with a woman who came to me and she was having a baby and she wanted to spend more time, but she loved her corporate job. She absolutely loved what she did. And so we worked out that alignment and she went to her boss and said, look, I'm not asking for a raise for everything that I do, but what I am asking for is a little bit more freedom to spend more time with my daughter. And she's like, so I want to work from home. And if I can prove to you that working from home on these 3 days, I will be in the office on the day that we usually have meetings, that I can be more productive for you, can you give me 3 months to prove that to you? Mm. And what she found was she got, you know, childcare for about 4 hours every single day. And in those 4 hours, what she got done at home was almost triple what she could get done in the office. Mm-hmm. And then she went in 2 days a week. And so she saved her commute. She saved her time. And she started being an even better employee mm-hmm. for them, that they ended up giving her a raise. And then she's like, okay, so now I want to go fully remote and I want to be able to video conference in. And if you really need me in there, I will be there, but I want to prove to you that I can get even more done for you. And so when people think about, well, I don't want to be an entrepreneur, or I don't want, and I'm just stuck mm-hmm. having this job, making mm-hmm. this money, mm-hmm. they don't see that thinking outside that traditional industrial concept of working of 40 hours a week, sometimes 60 hours a week in some companies, is that there are ways out of it. If, mm-hmm. especially if you want to take that extra step, if you want to go that extra mile. Mm-hmm. There's so much we can talk about, and this is such great information. And I'm going to completely go over because I want people to get this. I want to get back to, you talk about the five ways that we ward off wealth. Mm. And what to do to welcome it instead. And I really want the listeners to understand what you try to get across in this.
Yeah, beautiful. So I don't know how much time we have, but what
just go for it.
Yeah. So what I want to do is I want to actually give you guys the number one way that we ward off wealth. And then I have a gift for everyone that they can take. It's called the Wealth Resistance Assessment. And it's an assessment that you can take in less than 5 minutes that scores you across the five areas that we ward off wealth and correlates to the thief that I just talked about. And then when you take the assessment, you get your score, and then you get a series of emails that tells you more depth about the five ways, the five different ways.
And that link is in the episode description.
Yeah, great. And you can also find it at quiz.wealthylifemethod.com. So the number one way that we ward off wealth is worry. Mm-hmm. And worry, when we worry about money, what worry does is worry, for me, I'm a very powerful seer, Marcy. So I see worry when I'm working with my clients like a dark gray, musty smelling army blanket that's wrapped all around them. And what's interesting about worry, especially for women, is it's something that's passed down from generation to generation to generation. A mother's concerned about and worried about, are you going to be pretty enough so that you'll find a man? Are you going to weigh the right amount? Are you going to have enough good grades? Are you going to make enough money? Are you going to be a, you know, good mother to my grandchild? Like, all that worry stuff gets literally passed down like mummy wrappings from mother to daughter, from mother to daughter, from mother to daughter. And it may also with men to a certain degree, but I find it's much more prevalent with women. And what happens when we're worried is it's literally like our business or our life, ourselves, our contribution is wrapped in this nasty, ugly, smelly, gross army blanket. Mm-hmm. And it's repellent to money. It's repellent to money. It's repellent to the kind of connections that you want to make in order to be generative, either in corporate or in self-employment. It's repellent to wealth, certainly. It's definitely repellent to the sales conversation. If you're having a sales conversation with somebody and you're worried, they can feel it.
Right.
They can sense it. People sense this at an unspoken level when you are worried. And so there are four other ways that we ward off wealth. And if we have the time, we can get into those. But I really want to honor the time that you've set aside.
No. I think this is really good. I think the people who are listening are definitely like, okay, hold it. I could ward off wealth. I could be causing my debt. I could be causing. And I think that's the thing that people don't understand is they think that money is something outside of them that has happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something that they could ward off or that they could attract. So if you have the time, I would love for you to just kind of briefly go through those four so people might recognize themselves in it.
Sure. Yeah. So I'll do that briefly. So the other four ways that we ward off wealth, we already talked about waffling. So waffling is that indecisiveness that happens when you're standing in front of 47 options for crust, right? When you're in abundance, waffling shows up. So if you're indecisive and you can't decide, well, should I invest in a business coach or a dream coach or a wealth mentor, or should I, you know, buy tickets to Hawaii for a week? I don't know. I don't know what I should do. I don't know what I should. Well, maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. And you just never do anything because you're waffling all the time.
Right.
Yes. The third one is whining. And whining often happens for women over wine, over glasses of wine.
So
whining
true.
Happens over wine. And so now you have your own whining where you're, you know, basically complaining, oh, I don't have enough money to do that. And when we use our words are very powerful. They are creative. So every time you say the words, I don't have enough money, you're creating not having enough money. Mm-hmm. And when you're complaining and you're whining, you're actually whining looks like thick, tarry soup. Mm-hmm. Like you're stuck in this whining, complaining, like it's almost like gel. And when you sit with other women drinking wine and everybody's whining, now you're in collusion with one another. And everybody is colluding with each other's stories.
And let's also discuss the fact that this often happens when women sit around and talk about the men in their lives. So we can put them to both of that energy going on because I recently experienced that. So yes, there's like, when you sit there and you're talking to, say, your girlfriends or your mom and you're together and you've got that wine and you're having this really deep emotional bond with one another and you start talking about money, which I don't know that women do tend to talk about. I think there tends to be a lot of shame when it comes to money.
And they might not be talking directly about money, but indirectly they're talking about it. Like, oh, I just can't believe the guy next to me got a raise and I have been there for days and days and days and done all this stuff and nobody's paying attention to me. Well, that's whining about money. It might not be saying, I'm so sad because I don't have any money in my bank account. I think the whining about directly about money happens more in the entrepreneurial space, but
yes.
I agree with you that this also happens with men, and there's a very interesting correlation with men and money for women. Very interesting correlation. Uh-huh. We're not going to go into
We're not going to go in there, but we might need to do another show on that because I like that. But if I think that so many women can relate to when you sat down, you're all together and you're all feeding off of, well, he did this and can you believe he said that? And like, why can't he be that? And you know what that energy feels like.
Totally. So it's a collusion. It's
right.
A collusion.
And so then when you add to it, if you think about where you're at with your money and you kind of sit in that and you're talking about it and you're whining about it and why can't I get ahead and like my boss sucks, you know. I just want people to get that real sense of what that energy creates of an emotion in themselves.
Totally. It's not, it's certainly not uplifting. Let's put it that way.
No, it is not.
We're not celebrating when we're whining. We are not.
Exactly.
So the other two are waiting on, and waiting on is kind of twofold. So you're either waiting on everybody else in your life. You're waiting on your kids. You're waiting on your husband. You're waiting on, meaning you're taking care of everybody else before you're taking care of yourself, right?
Yes.
So you're busy waiting on them. Or the other thing that waiting on can be like is like you're literally like the princess in the tower waiting on the handsome prince to come and rescue you and shower you with money.
Yes.
And you know, initially it sounds like a good plan, but you know, if you're sitting there just waiting and waiting and waiting, it's so depressing. Oh my God, there's no action. There's no momentum. Nothing's happening. You're just waiting. How long do we wait until the money shows up kind of thing? You know what I mean?
Right.
So waiting on is the fourth way that we ward off wealth, and then withdrawing. So withdrawing looks like, okay, you're listening to this podcast and you are sparked up and you're like, oh my God, I've got to fix this problem and I need to get some help with this problem. And then you, the podcast is over and you pull back, you pull your energy back and you go off and get distracted by something else.
Right. I think also in that last one, I want to add to the fact that people ignore. So it's like when the problem gets so big of I don't have enough or mm-hmm. I'm in debt or I don't know how to get out or mm-hmm. the, you know, what you said before, the waiting of, mm-hmm. you know, being like, well, at some point the boss is going to recognize that I'm good enough. I'm going to be paid what I'm worth,
mm-hmm.
you know. But when we ignore the situation, it's like the little devil that rides around on our shoulder. And mm-hmm. it's like, then we find other ways to push it down. Like, mm-hmm. and I see this all the time in the fact of like, well, I don't have enough anyway. And I really deserve this because I work so hard. So I'm going to go and spend this on a credit card. And mm-hmm. then the credit card bill comes and well, I can't really deal with it. And I become more depressed. So mm-hmm. now what I might do is I'm just going to binge watch Netflix and I'm going to eat.
Exactly.
And so we have a big societal problem in this, in our culture of, first of all, that we are taught to go into debt. We create a debt society, starting with giving credit cards to college students that aren't making any money mm-hmm. and student loans. And then we carry all of this into our lives. And then we take that energy that you're talking about, all the five ways that you're talking about, because I think most people cycle through all five of them.
Totally.
And we like sit in that muck, and that mm-hmm. muck carries us and it dampens our energy and it makes us tired. And then instead of thinking about our dreams and everything that we want to really explore in our lives, we are literally living in this muck. And so when I talk to people about how do you want to live, how do you want to explore, and I send them out, you know, when they start the Bucket List Life 21 Day Challenge, where we do align our time and finances with our biggest dreams and we look at our biggest dreams, the number one thing that they write right from the beginning is finances. I cannot do my dreams because of finances.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really, what you're speaking to, I know I'm really excited to go and, and take, how did you put it?
It's called the Wealth Resistance Assessment.
Assessment. I like that.
Yeah.
And I think so many people need to look at that because, and I love what you say of kind of a recap of that. We do hand it down from mother to daughter. I was speaking to a friend recently who he is extremely successful, extremely, extremely, extremely successful. And he doesn't need to keep pushing the way he pushes. And wealth just comes to him. But it's almost never enough because his thing was that he was so poor growing up that he had to start taking responsibility at 14 years old.
Yeah. So money comes to him, but he's not wealthy. There's a difference.
I'm going to keep taking these opportunities. I'm going to keep taking these opportunities. And he is wealthy in the way that he lives his life. But it's like he switched that mindset around to like, I want so much of it. Mm. And so it can go in a positive too, is what I'm saying, of like, you can come from that story and you can flip it. Mm-hmm. And so when people think, well, that's the story and I'm always going to live in it, you get to choose today how you approach it. And no matter what situation you're in financially, you get to choose today if you're going to start changing that around. And it doesn't mean that everything has to go on hold of like all other wealth in your life. That's what you're saying, is that wealth comes in many ways. And as long as you continue to grow that energy across the thief, mm-hmm. you're also going to grow your wealth.
Yeah. And when we are not attending to and setting boundaries, that I want to just circle us back to yes. the boundaries piece. When we're not attending to and setting boundaries around all of these things, the reason it spells out thief is we are stealing from our birthright, because yes. we have, all of us are born with the birthright to become and to live a wealthy life.
Yes.
And so that's why it spells out thief. The other quick thing I want to talk about, because you brought it up, is credit cards and credit card debt.
Yes, please.
And I believe that there are two kinds of debt. There's good debt and there's bad debt.
Right.
And there's a big difference between binge shopping because you can't deal with the consequences of choices that you made, you know, 6 months ago. Probably to binge shop then as well, right? Or utilizing and leveraging your good credit in service to advancing yourself, in service to investing in yourself or your business, in service to getting more skills or having some personal development happen for you, or professional development happen for you, or business building consultations or things like that, I think are I would call that good debt. And simultaneously, I would say that there needs to be boundaries on that too.
Right. Absolutely. And so what's a final thing that you would say to someone sitting either at home in their office trying to build a business, or in a corporation listening to this because there's really nothing that they're doing at their office, about truly feeling what that, let's go back to that vibration. Mm. What is that vibe of feeling really wealthy?
Mm. The vibe for me of feeling really wealthy is that I am generative in all areas of my life. I have more time. I have greater health. I have more precise and useful information coming in, whether it's intellectual information or intuitive information. I have a greater degree of value being exchanged for money in the money exchange situation. I am creating more, and I am having more fun with my friends and family. Like, it's all about expansion and generation, not for the sake of having more, like I got to have more, mm. but that it is a beautiful flowering of bounty across all areas of my life, such that I am able to feel like I am held. Like I am held in this beautiful container that nourishes and feeds and allows for just joyfulness in every area of my life.
I love it. You know, as you were saying that, I remembered something, because I know a lot of people go back to religion as they're like, you know, especially like Catholicism, that, you know, we are not meant to be wealthy. And there was a priest many years ago in his homily that picked up a flower. And he said, if you were not meant to be wealthy and enjoy every aspect of this life, then why are there so many seeds in every single flower to continually make them grow? Mm-hmm. And that is, I believe, what we are here to do, is to expand and have that beauty. And I am so thankful for you being on the show. You are absolutely amazing. And I will definitely have you back again so that people can get even more knowledge. But please, please, please click the link below. Take her assessment. Bring wealth into your lives. We are meant to be wealthy. We are meant to live. And now I'm afraid to use the word abundant.
Don't be afraid. It's nothing to be afraid of.
Wealthy on all levels.
We are meant to choose wisely from the abundance that's available to us.
I love that.
Yeah.
Please look up everything about Emerald and her wealth programs. Thank you again for being on the show. And remember, your life is you are here for a reason, to live out your unique dreams in your unique way. And don't ever forget that you are worthy of everything just because you were born. I'm Marcy Knoll, and this is E2T Adventures Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it, comment below, and let's spread the wealth to everyone. Thank you.